This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Idiot. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's quick lane or routine, difficult inspections, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Irma joins us now, and with our good friends at Inside Maryland Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show. It is so great to have you back.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Jeff. Appreciate the time you're giving us very much here. Ty Felton, when I look at him, he is the guy that if you can somehow get some control over, it makes a big difference. You watch him all the time. What makes him a special wide receiver?
Well, he's really fast. He racks up the yards after the catch, so a big piece of their offense is predicated on quick hitters to him and letting him get the ball in space and make plays. He's really good at that. He's one of the faster receivers in the Big Ten. And then, you know, in the past he had some issues with drops and fumbles and things like that. And this year he's been far more sure-handed and featured in the offense very heavily. So combining all those things, he's had one of the best years by a Maryland receiver ever.
You know, I look at Billy Edwards, and even when he stepped in for Tua Tagovailoa last year, I thought, you know, or last couple of years, he always gave a great account of himself. Now it's been his full-time job. I know he's been banged up. So where is he right now, especially after the Iowa game?
Yeah, he's still banged up. You know, Mike Locksley said he's not sure if he'll play tomorrow. My guess would be that he will. He's that classic gamer kind of quarterback who's going to play unless he's got a limb falling off of his body. So, you know, I would think he would, but you never know for sure. He got knocked out of the game last week. The offensive line has not been very good in front of him, so it's just kind of wait-and-see mode now.
Which then brings up the possibility of MJ Morris, who stepped in last week, the transfer from North Carolina State. What does he bring to the table that can help an offense out?
I think he throws a little bit better deep ball. He's a little faster than Edwards. He's just not the same game manager kind of guy who you know is going to make the right decision most of the time. That's not to say he makes bad decisions, but that's a strength of Edwards. If he plays, it'll be interesting. He's had a few flashes when he's played, but he's also had some struggles and trying to make your debut as a starter in that kind of environment at Penn State would be very challenging, obviously.
Roman Hemby is a guy that, especially a couple of years ago, was like, wow. They got themselves a running back. How's he progressed, though? Because numerically he hasn't progressed, but has he progressed as a player?
Yeah, you're right. 2 years ago was the high water mark for him. He almost rushed for 1,000 yards as a redshirt freshman. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily lost a step or what it has been exactly, but there haven't been as many big plays. Some of it is that, again, the offensive line was significantly better. 2 years ago than it is now. I think Pro Football Focus has them as one of the worst, five worst offensive lines in the country this season. So, you know, that's been a big part of it for him. And there have been, you know, some carries going to other guys as well. But, you know, just in general, the running game has just not been very efficient or effective the past 2 years. And I think that's taken a toll on his numbers.
It seems to me when I've watched Maryland play, that they've tried to get the ball to him in the passing game because they feel that's the way to get him into the open field and maybe make something happen. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, he has shown in his career that he can make plays in the passing game. He's made his share of big plays on screen passes and things of that nature. And then maybe, like you said, you get him out in space and, you know, the offensive line is not as much of a deficiency, but he is definitely a running back who can make plays in the passing game. And I'm sure, you know, along with Ty Felton, he'll be a focus for Maryland tomorrow.
I'll tell you, Wade, the young tight end, what have you thought about his play to this point, Jeff?
I like him a lot. He seems to make a play every time the ball's in his hands. He's a big play kind of guy, really fast for a tight end. You know, doesn't have that prototypical NFL tight end size. He's a little more like a smaller version of the kid, Chigga Conquo. They had a few years, who plays for Tennessee now in the NFL. He's a playmaker. They have him and Preston Howard, another tight end who's capable of making plays. They haven't been, you know, dominant by any stretch, but both have chipped in for them this season.
How's Prather been at the other wideout spot opposite Felton?
He's been good. He's just shy of 600 yards. I think he has five touchdown catches. And, you know, he's been a victim of an inordinate number of misfires. You know, Edwards early on started hot, but when he did miss on the deep ball, it seemed to be Prather often. So he could easily have several hundred more yards and touchdowns. It's just there have been a strange number of missed throws in his direction.
All right, defensively, a couple of guys that jump out to me right away. Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker, who's been there, was his eighth, ninth year? And Dante Trader at safety. Jeff, give me a couple of thumbnails on each one of those guys and what makes them a really good college player.
Well, first, it's funny you make that joke about Hippolyte because I mentioned that to my son yesterday in conversation that he seems like he's been there forever. He's just one of those steady Eddie, solid guys who's going to lead the team in tackles, you know, half the time at least. You know, he's had a few big plays this season, but mostly he's just that kind of policeman type manning the middle, really consistent during the course of his career. Trader's an athletic guy, was a lacrosse star, you know, big-time lacrosse player coming out of high school. He's had a solid senior year, not a really loud one. Junior year. I think he'll still have a chance to play in the NFL, but, you know, he hasn't been able to put a lot of big plays on tape this year.
What about the pass rush part of it? Have they been able to generate any kind of consistent pass rush this season? And from whom?
No, they haven't. That's been one of their biggest weaknesses. They're toward the bottom in the Big Ten in sacks. Coming into this year, you know, everybody, including myself, thought this would be their best defensive front seven in quite a while. And it's been, you know, okay, but the pass rush just hasn't been there, and that's been an issue because, you know, they've been breaking in a bunch of inexperienced and true freshman cornerbacks. So the combination of a weak pass rush and young cornerbacks who are prone to allow big plays has not been a good one.
How's Fuller been at that defensive end spot, the transfer from Florida State? He's been there a couple of years. How's he been?
He's been solid. He's one of their better pass rushers. You know, he's not going to make an all Big Ten team, I don't think, but he's been a good player. And, you know, when you have a lack of pass rushers, you need pretty much anybody who can get to the quarterback. So him and another kid named Trey Reddick, who's a lot younger than him, second-year guy, I think he's probably the best pass rusher on the team. So some of the more, you know, highly touted guys like Jordan Phillips, you know, just haven't been able to rack up a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how would you evaluate the state of the program right now under Mike Locksley and how it's played out this particular season?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like a tipping point heading into next season. You know, you had three good seasons in a row, won bowl games 3 years in a row for the first time in the program's history, but you didn't really get any marquee wins, and, you know, that kind of left the fans hungry for something more heading into this year. And then this year has been, you know, forget about the marquee wins. There just haven't been many wins, period. So, you know, it feels like next year is a very big one for Loxley. He needs to get things turned around, get the fans back, you know, back in the seats again, because, you know, they're not really exuberant at this point.
The way the Iowa game played out, how tough was that for Maryland, and how tough was it for a Maryland fan to watch that game?
Yeah, there was a little bit of a tease late in the game where they came back, and it seemed like they might actually have a chance to steal it. But, you know, it's been the story of this season. In those moments, that's when the other team has kind of just taken control and things have fallen apart for Maryland. So it happened again, you know, against Iowa, which came as no surprise given how, you know, the past couple months have gone. When you look at it, they beat USC on homecoming with a late field goal block. You know, if they don't get that miraculous field goal block, you're looking at, you know, likely an 0-9 Big Ten season. So I wouldn't say the Iowa game was any more painful for the fans at this point than the others. It's just been that kind of season.
Iowa, though, now we know Iowa's MO is running the football, especially with their quarterback situation. I know with the third guy, walk-on, and so forth. What was Iowa doing with the running game against them? We know Caleb Johnson's terrific, but it was just a ground-and-pound game the entire time with them?
Yeah, for the most part it was. They just pushed back Maryland's defensive front, you know, for most of the game, especially in the first half. They just kind of got out-physicaled. And, you know, when you get to that point where they're running these, you know, 6-7 minute drives, and then you go three and out to compound that with your offense, that's, you know, that's a losing formula almost every time. So, yeah, they were just mostly out physical in that game.
What's been the viewpoint on Penn State, especially being at the end?
You know, I think Penn State looks really good. This seems like one of Franklin's best teams that he's had in a while now. I actually thought that this might be the year they would take down Ohio State. But for Maryland, I think that, you know, at this point, you're hoping to go in and put up a good performance and compete. You know, just getting a win, obviously, it's a 24-25-point spread on the road. It's hard to motivate kids and coaches at this time of year when you don't know, you know, you have nothing to play for. You don't know what's next in the off season. So it's obviously a very daunting matchup for Maryland.
Once the game is over with, how much news might Maryland generate? And I don't mean Loxley, but in terms of player movement and things like that. I mean, is this something that is a concern there about player movement?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern every year. And then when you have a season that really goes down the drain like this one has, you're going to have a lot of people either looking for new places to go, or maybe coaches kind of hinting to them that, you know, you'd be better off down a level, or, you know, whatever else. So, and then you're also going to have staff changes, obviously, when you have this kind of season. So I would think there'd be a pretty good amount of news coming out.
Jeff, what's attendance been like for Maryland football? I mean, you go to the Big Ten, and now I know this is like over the last few years, but in the last few years, Michigan has come there on every other year. Ohio State's come there every other year. Penn State's come there every other year. This year, USC came in. So it's not like yet there haven't been marquee names coming in. Have the fans attached themselves to it and watched it there? What's the attendance been like?
You know, at times there's been a few little peaks where, you know, they get off to a 4-0 start and people come out, and then things kind of go south as the weather gets colder and the place empties out. So, you know, attendance hasn't been great, especially this year. I think, you know, they're toward the bottom of the Big Ten. You know, like I said, that marquee win against a Penn State or an Ohio State or a Michigan, they've come close several times, but they haven't been able to pull it off. And, you know, eventually fans, when they don't feel like there's a chance they're going to see a big name kind of win that they can brag about, a lot of them are going to stop coming out. So attendance hasn't been great.
Jeff, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and that great family.
You too. Thank you.
Jeff Ehrman joining us. He's with Maryland Insider on 3.com. Great to have him on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Let SMC be your MVP. With their all-star lineup of new Fords, Sunbury Motors has 31 of J.D. Power's best-in-class 2024 Ford Bronco Sports, discounted up to $4,250 and starting at just $28,815. SMC has 18 of the number one selling SUVs of all time, the 2025 Ford Explorer, slashed up to $5,300 and priced from just $43,920. Choose from over 40 of Motor Trend's number one ranked full-size truck, the Ford F-150. And Sunbury Motors has them reduced up to a whopping $12,416 with available 1.9% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Remember, Sunbury Motors Ford gives you more for your trade.